Today's topic is the role of the holy name in the life of a devotee. Before I begin, I'd like to ask how many of you have a regulative principle to chant at least 16 rounds a day, just so I know. How many less than 16, but at least 8? Less than 8, but at least 4. And less than 4, but at least 1. And is there anyone here who hasn't made a determination or resolution to chant at least one round a day? Okay. So, the role of the holy name in the life of a devotee. A more proper question might be, what is my role in the life of the holy name? Because actually the holy name is Krishna himself. So the question isn't, what is Krishna's role in my life? The question is, what is my role in Krishna's life? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. Now, in the conditioned stage of life, we're pretty much all in the conditioned stage of life. We are in the bodily concept of life. We think, I am this body, and everything in relation to this body is mine. So, my wife, my parents, my children, my home, my car, my bank account, and so on. In other words, I am the center. And the process of spiritual advancement means that Krishna becomes the center. The concept of I and mine becomes purified. Instead of thinking, I am this body and everything in relation to the body is mine, I think, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. But that process of Krishna becoming the center instead of me in the bodily concept of life is gradual. And because we're in the bodily concept of life, absorbed in thoughts of I and mine, we think, what is the role of the holy name in my life? As if I have some separate identity. I have my life, and I have so many things in my life, and where does the holy name fit in my life? Well, that's not a bad question.
the conditioned soul to ask. But through the process of purification, by chanting the holy name, we want to change that mentality. We don't want to have the conception of I and mine in the material sense. My life, where does Krishna fit into my life? But we want to think I am Krishna's. What does Krishna want to do with me? How can I give Krishna pleasure? And that is our goal. So even though we have not come to the stage where practically Krishna is the center, because we're conditioned, we still tend to think that we are of ourselves in the center. But our goal is, and the reality is, that Krishna is in the center. So, what is our relationship with Krishna? Jive Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. I mean, we're not the body, that's the first thing. So given that we're not the body, what are we? We're part and parcel, we're spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. And as the natural function of the part is to serve the whole, our natural function as individual souls is to serve the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. And because Krishna and the holy name are the same, and especially in our stage of sadhana, we come to identify ourselves as the eternal servants of the holy name. And when we identify ourselves as the eternal servants of the holy name, then our life is transformed. And every aspect of our life is seen in relation to our constitutional position as the eternal servant of the holy name. We have one god brother named Gopal Bhatta Das. Gopal Bhatta Das is the owner of a multi-million dollar company called the Closet Factory. And I forget what he said. I'm not saying it for any other reason except to make the point that he has a lot of responsibility. But I think he said his income is like $120 million a year. So, at a certain stage, he decided to devote a lot of time and energy to ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to help the society function better. Because in the material world, they have devised ways of being successful in business and in other aspects of life, and we wanted ISKCON to be successful. And he wanted to implement some of the principles that have been used successfully in the material world in ISKCON. So one of his god brothers, at a certain stage, approached him and said that, you know, you're putting so much time and effort into ISKCON, trying to improve it.
I just hope that you're not disappointed in the end, because this kind of a big society and it may not respond in the way that you would hope. And he said, you know, I'm really concerned because I don't want you to be hurt. And Gopal Bhatta Prabhu replied, and he himself, in all humility, was impressed by how spontaneously he replied in the way that he did. He replied, I do not consider myself to be, you know, the savior of ISKCON or the reformer of ISKCON or any sort of big person in ISKCON or the world. If I have any identity in this stage of devotional service, it is as an aspiring servant of the Holy Name. And even if ISKCON doesn't accept any of my ideas, I will not be in the least bit disappointed, because I've already gotten the benefit that I wanted. And that is that my service to ISKCON has helped me in my relationship with the Holy Name. So there's no chance that I'll be disappointed or feel hurt or any such thing. Because when we see ourselves as the eternal servants of the Holy Name, then we see everything else in relationship to service to the Holy Name. And ISKCON is really meant to be a vehicle for distributing the Holy Name. Service to ISKCON means service to the Holy Name. And service, and in this consciousness we see the other devotees as servants of the Holy Name. And we see ourselves as servants of the servants of the Holy Name. And therefore, just like we always hear, Krishna says in the Adi Purana to Arjuna, those who claim to be my devotees are not my devotees. That those who are the devotees of my devotees are actually my devotees. So we have our direct relationship with the Holy Name. And that relationship is developed primarily by chanting and hearing offenselessly. But we also serve the Holy Name by spreading the Holy Name and by serving the other servants of the Holy Name who are also engaged in spreading the Holy Name. And therefore the first offense against the Holy Name is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagate the Holy Name. The servants of the Holy Name are dear to the Holy Name. So if we offend a servant of the Holy Name, then the Holy Name will feel offended. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that Krishna is more offended when his devotee is offended than when he himself is offended. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if it's really hot out, sunny and scorching, and you are walking barefoot
I guess that's a, that example would be more common in India, but even here on the beach on occasion, that the scorching sun will hurt your feet. Your feet will burn more walking on the hot stand than your head. So in the same way, Krishna feels more pain when his devotees are offended than when he himself is offended. And therefore, we should be very careful when we deal with devotees, not to offend them. But to the contrary, we should appreciate them, we should glorify them, we should serve them. And that will please the holy name, and that will make it easier for us to chant the holy name with attention, with devotion, with feeling. So when we realize that we're the eternal servant of the holy name, then we want to surrender to the holy name in the exact same process by which we surrender to Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami has one verse, Anu Kuryasya Sankalpa Pati Kuryasya Vardhana. The six divisions of surrender. That we should accept whatever is favorable. And in this context, we should accept whatever is favorable to chanting purely. And we should reject whatever is unfavorable.
Now, what is favorable? Just on a very basic level, and we'll hear more about these principles in the afternoon. But let us say one thing that's favorable is to chant early in the morning. Srila Prabhupada said that the Brahma Muhurta period, which begins about an hour and a half before sunrise and continues to sunrise, is most favorable for spiritual practices. So that's favorable. But that chanting early in the morning doesn't begin early in the morning. It actually begins the night before. Because if you stay up late, if you have a heavy meal before you take rest, it will be hard to get up early and chant attentively. So accepting what is favorable means organizing our life in such a way that it's favorable for chanting with attention. With attention means without offense. And pratikulyasya vartanam, just the opposite. We reject whatever is unfavorable. And as I mentioned, one of the most, if not the most unfavorable thing is to commit offenses against devotees. Any offense, any of the 10 offenses is unfavorable, but especially to offend devotees. We want to be careful about that. So what's favorable for our chanting isn't just the effort we make at the time that we're chanting, but it's what we do with the rest of our life that we bring into the time when we're directing chanting. So again, you know, what is the role of the holy name in the life of a devotee? The role of the holy name is that it's the center of the life of the devotee. And whatever the devotee does should be favorable for chanting and hearing without offense. Then, Gotrikte means one should accept Krishna, and again, the
same would apply to the holy name, as one's guardian, as one's maintainer. One should have no separate interest. One should feel that whatever desires I have will be fulfilled only by the holy name, by the mercy of the holy name. And if the holy name doesn't want the desire to be fulfilled, it won't be fulfilled, no matter how hard I try on my own. And the same idea that the holy name is my maintainer and protector, and the holy name will protect me and maintain me. And on my own, I cannot protect or maintain myself. I recall an incident in the Boston Temple. The first temple at 95 Glenville Avenue. At the time, the movement was very new, and we had only about maybe 10 or 12 devotees in the temple then. And the only real income we had was Satsvarupa's paycheck. He was the temple president, and he worked for the welfare department. That was the only real income we had. People would visit the temple. We had the Sunday feast, and people would give donations. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to pay the bills. So we had a meeting. All the devotees gathered together and sat in a circle to discuss what to do. And the mood of the devotees was very surrendered. And Srila Prabhupada had said that if the devotees need, they can get jobs. So different devotees were volunteering. One nice devotee named Petit Pavan, he said, you know, he used to work in the post office before he joined to get a job in the post office. One of the other devotees said, well, I know the grocer down the street, maybe I could get a job in the grocery store. And in this way, different devotees were volunteering to get jobs. So then another nice devotee named Nanda Kishore Prabhu, he recalled a recent letter that Srila Prabhupada had written. And every letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote was an occasion. Everyone would read every letter, especially if one came, you know, everyone would know a letter from Prabhupada came. And then the devotee who received it would open it in the presence of everyone, and everyone would hear it. So I don't know if the letter was written to us or not.
It's to one of the devotees in our temple or not.
But Nanda Kishore said that Prabhupada wrote that if you just do Sankirtan, means Harinam Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually.
And we took everything that Srila Prabhupada said literally as true.
So that seemed like the answer. If you just do Sankirtan, all of our problems will be solved materially and spiritually. So we decided to try it. So we went out, and in those days we didn't go out every day. So we went out chanting. Maybe six or eight were chanting, and one or two would accompany the party with the
a basket or a conch shell and people would put coins in. So at the end of the day, we added up the collection. It was like more than $7, which was quite a lot then. We thought, well, maybe what Prabhupada said is true. Let's try tomorrow. So we did the same thing the next day, and when we got back, we counted up the collections, and more than $12. We did the same thing the third day, almost $19. We thought, wow, this is big time, big time collection. So that was it then. From then on, we just did Harinam Sankirtan, and then we added selling Back to Godhead magazines with Harinam Sankirtan. We got all the money we needed. So the idea that Krishna, that the holy name is our maintainer, Krishna is our maintainer, the holy name is our maintainer. There are many stories about how devotees didn't have money to pay the rent, and then at the last minute, Krishna intervened and saved the situation. Now, of course, in Grihastha Ashram, this is a very Brahminical principle, just to depend on whatever Krishna provides. And in Grihastha Ashram, one may not live like a Brahmin, and the culture in the West is such, it's not that conducive to Brahminical culture. Although it's possible, it is possible, but it's difficult. But ultimately, everything depends on Krishna, everything depends on the holy deity. And then humility is one of the divisions of surrender. So we should feel humble before the holy name, that we're nothing before the holy name. And when we try to chant with attention and realize how difficult it is, it's humbling. It's definitely humbling. And then full self-surrender. Atmani shape. Full self-surrender. Surrender ourselves fully to the holy name. Our bodies, our minds, our very selves. Just as we surrender to Krishna, we surrender to the holy name. And the holy name reciprocates. He takes care of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everything is there. Because Krishna means, is Krishna, and Hare means the energy of Krishna. And everything is either Krishna or the energy of Krishna. There's nothing that exists that's not either Krishna or the energy of Krishna. So everything is included. The spiritual master is also included. Once one devotee in Boston asked Srila Prabhupada that now you're here, so if we have any questions, we can ask you. But what about when you're not here? How will we get answers? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are the same. Do you realize this fact? Get answers. Actually, in 1977 in Juhu, we had a very nice life member named Mr. Sethi, who's a devotee, a householder devotee. And he was part of a bhajan mandali, called the Radha Madhav Satsang Bhajan Mandali.
I believe they had a guru from Vrindavan, and they were householders. But every Sunday they would meet at some venue, usually one of the devotees' homes, and they would do Akhand Harinam Sankirtan, they would chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for 12 hours straight. And then after the 12 hours, they would sing Braj songs for 1 or 2 hours. So Mr. Sethi had the idea that they could come and perform feast at Jubilee. And at the time, these towers were just being built, but Srila Prabhupada was staying upstairs on the top floor, but the building wasn't really finished. And the lift wasn't working, and Srila Prabhupada was very ill then in 1977, so he couldn't really come down. But the old temple that was sort of a shed, it was under his window, and so they were doing kirtan for 12 hours. And then the next day, Srila Prabhupada called me in and said, you know, how did you like the kirtan? Very nice. He said, I want to invite all these people in the Radha Madhav Mandali to stay at Hare Krishna Mandali. We will give them accommodations and prasadam, and all they have to do is kirtan for 12 hours a day, and I will maintain them. So, and Prabhupada said, and all of you, I want all of you to do 12 hours kirtan every day. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, we have so much service to do. And Srila Prabhupada said, all right, then at least once a week on Sunday. Oh, okay. That's a relief. Later I related the incident to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he said that Srila Prabhupada was doing transcendental bargaining. If he would have begun with 12 hours on Sunday, I might have said, oh, that's a lot. How about 4 hours? But because he began with like 12 hours every day of the week, and then he came down to just 12 hours one day a week, whew, right, got off easy. But what happened was, we did it, and it was so amazing that whatever problems we had, and when you're managing, there are problems. When you're doing anything in the material world, there are problems. But it became a thing that, like, every Sunday, all the problems were solved. Either the problems just went away, or like Krishna gave us the intelligence how to deal with the problems. And so it was like a regular thing. I would deal with the problems. I was the temple president. I deal with the problems up till Wednesday. Then Thursday was sort of like, let's see if I can, if this can wait till Sunday, and then the closer we got, the less I did. I was just waiting for Sunday. Miraculously, all the problems would be solved. Amazing. So that's the
power and mercy of the Holy Name. We can experience the same thing through attentive japa. So, yeah, it helps us see things in perspective. Sometimes because of circumstances, we don't chant early in the morning, but I find if we do chant early in the morning, then we really get a good perspective on the rest of the day and beyond. And really see what's important and what's not, what I have to do and what I really don't have to do. Because so much of our time is spent doing things that we don't really have to do, that aren't even that important or necessary. Or we just do them because we don't know what else to do, or we think we have to do them and we don't have the proper perspective. So, of course, it's good to chant in the morning because our minds are fresh and the morning is more in the mode of goodness. Even though the Holy Name is transcendental, Shuddha, but still, within the material modes, the mode of goodness is easier, more conducive. The morning is mine, the mode of goodness. And that gives us perspective for the rest of the day. But Kirtaniya Sadahari should always chant. Every year, the residents of Kulinagram in Bengal would come to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri at the time of Rath Yatra. And every year they would ask him, what is our duty? Especially as householders, what is our duty? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reply to chant the holy name without cessation, nirantara, continuously. Chant the holy name nirantara, without any interval or gap. And to serve the Vaishnavas. So that nirantara, it's the same idea as Kirtaniya Siddhahari, to always chant the holy name. But what does that mean, always chant the holy name? We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to bathe, we have to dress, we have to work. It means two things, which are two sides of the same. It means that our goal is to chant without cessation. Our goal is to chant 24 hours. And there are some very advanced souls in Vrindavan and Govardhan that chant almost 24 hours a day. They actually do it. Hari Das Thakur would chant 3 lakhs names. That's 64 rounds times 3. So if you figure 16 rounds is 2 hours, so 64 rounds is 8 hours, so 3 times 64 rounds is 24 hours. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. So that's our goal, actually. That's our goal. To come to the stage where all we do is chant and hear. And Krishna takes care of us. Yoga, Kshema, Vijanya. But we can't artificially imitate someone who's at that stage of Paramahansa. So for us, Kirtaniya Siddhahari means that we do the minimum required to keep the body and soul together, and the rest of the time we chant the holy name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that performing activities for the maintenance of the body is not outside of pure devotional service. It's not outside of the principle of Kirtaniya Sadhana. He says, if you don't eat, you won't be able to live. You won't be able to keep your body and soul together to chant the holy name. So we do. We work, we bathe, we dress, we eat, we sleep to keep the body and soul together so we can chant the holy name and serve the holy name by chanting it loudly so others will hear, or by telling people about it so they'll also want to chant. But that should be the goal. That should be the goal. We work hard, but then we come home, take a shower, maybe take a little prasad and chant. I've heard, but I don't think that would apply to anyone here, but I've heard that sometimes at the end of the day, the devotees are so like frustrated after a day at the office or whatever that they don't feel like chanting. They have the time, but they're just like too zonked out or something. Rather like turn on the television and watch a DVD or something. But Kirtaniya Sadhana really means whatever time we have, other than what we have to spend on keeping the body and soul together, we used to chant. Or serve the holy name. Now this, I thought I did bring some books with me to read some quotations that sort of encapsulate some of the things I've said, but because they're coming from Srila Prabhupada, I thought it would be nice to read them. At least this one. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 8. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Text 16. Bahu Janma Kari Adi Shravana Kirtana Tabuta Napaya Krishna Pade Premadana. Translation. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. But this is another topic. This isn't the point here. And it's not as hopeless as it might sound, because there are other verses, like in the Padma Purana, that if one commits offenses while chanting, the remedy is to continue to chant. So, but anyway, I'll read this purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this connection that unless one accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although one goes on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for many, many years, there is no possibility of his attaining the platform of devotional service. We have to accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One must follow strictly the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given in the Shikshastika. Chanadapi suniche na tarodapi sahishuna manina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Shikshastika 3. One who follows this direction, being freed from the 10 kinds of offenses, becomes successful in Krishna consciousness and ultimately reaches the platform of loving service, the personality of Godhead. One must come to the understanding that the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are identical. This is the point. One cannot reach this conclusion unless one is offenseless in chanting the holy name. We might hear it theoretically, but we don't actually experience it unless we become offenseless. And it's very important to actually experience it. By our material calculation, we see a difference between the name and the substance, but in the spiritual world, the absolute is always absolute. The name, form, quality, and pastimes of the absolute are all as good as the absolute himself. As such, one is understood to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he considers himself an eternal servant of the Holy Name and in this spirit distributes the Holy Name to the world. So we have two functions. The one is to chant and the other is to distribute. Mother Narayani, or anyone else, if it's more comfortable for you to sit up, you can sit up on a chair. Okay. One who chants in that spirit without offenses is certainly elevated to the platform of understanding that the holy name and the personality of Godhead are identical. To associate with the holy name and chant the holy name is to associate with the personality of Godhead directly. Now, there are many statements in the scripture about the potency of the holy name, the efficacy of chanting the holy name. For example, there's a statement that says that by just chanting the holy name once, one can destroy the reactions to more sins than one can commit. And Srila Prabhupada comments that there is not the least exaggeration in such statements. But it depends on the quality of the chanting. If someone is on the path of material improvement, Janmai Sharya Shruta Shudir, trying to improve himself by high birth, material opulence, education, beautiful women. If one is materially satisfied and complacent, he cannot chant the holy name with feeling. And to chant, to get the results of chanting, one must chant with feeling. Akinshina Gokachara. This is either from the prayers of Queen Kunti. That Krishna is the property of those who are materially impoverished, Akinshina, or Niskinshina, without possessions. Now, again, if one is very advanced, and especially if he lives in a climate such as in India, he could actually live without any material possessions. Again, they're highly elevated devotees. In Vrindavan and at Govardhan Hill, they practically have no possessions. They just have a cave, or sometimes they have like a tunnel or some place under the ground, and they eat whatever they get, and they have no possessions. Or, one should not have any false sense of proprietorship. Because we're preaching, so we have temples, we have ashrams, we have books, we have paraphernalia. But if we think I'm the proprietor, again, I am mine. I'm the proprietor. This is my temple. This is my office. This is my service. Then we cannot chant with true feeling. But if we're a kinshana, a niskinshana, without any material possessions, without any false proprietorship, then we can chant with feeling. Then our only property, our only possession is the holy name. Our only possession is Krishna. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. That's all I have. When we think I have so many other things, then we can't think that I am Krishna and Krishna is mine. Krishna is really ours when we have nothing else except Krishna. Then we can say Krishna is ours, and he will be ours. Because yayatam mam prapadyante, as you surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So, if you give your, see, if you give yourself 10% to Krishna, well, you know, Krishna will give you 10% of himself. But when you give yourself 100% to Krishna, I am Krishna's, and Krishna gives himself 100% to you. And Krishna is mine. And that is the perfection of chanting. Krishna fully reveals himself to us. His name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, reveals himself to us fully. That is the perfection of chanting. But in another verse, Queen Kunti prays to Lord Krishna, please sever my ties of affection for my family members, so that my love for you will flow just like the Ganges flows to the ocean. And there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada raises the question that her family members on both sides were devotees. And affection for devotees is not outside the range of devotional service. So why is she praying for her affectionate ties to be severed? Srila Prabhupada explains that when Queen Kunti asks for her ties of affection to be severed, she means the affection that is based on the body,
the affection that's based on, oh, this is my father and mother, this is my husband, his family. We don't have to actually give up the relationship, but we have to purify the relationship so that the spiritual features, which are based on the soul in relation to the Supreme Soul, are preserved, and the material features of the relationship, which are based on the body, become more and more insignificant. So the same—it's the same idea, this kinshana, or kinshana, that we don't falsely claim anything as ours. We know that we're the eternal servant of the holy name, and every living entity is the eternal servant of the holy name. And therefore, our relationship with others is to help them in their service to the holy name, and to work together to just give the holy name to others. That's our relationship with each other. That's our spiritual relationship. And in that spiritual relationship, we don't have to... that spiritual relationship won't be an impediment to our relationship with the holy name. But if we're in the bodily concept of life, you know, my wife, my children, mine, then that will be an impediment. Then when we're chanting, instead of hearing the holy name, our mind will be thinking, oh, my wife, my children, when we think of all the things that we think are mine, and all the bills we have to pay, all the things we have to do, and we won't be focused. Of course, we do have to do those things. We do have to do those things to keep the body and soul together. And again, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, who has probably more responsibility than any of us, of course, he's very organized. His company is called the Closet Factory. And the idea of the business is to help you store things efficiently and economically, so you're not like searching for things, where was that? There's a place for everything. So in a way his mind is like that. He has everything stored right where it's supposed to be. So when he chants, he doesn't have to worry about all the list of things he has to do. Like we chant, we're so busy all the time, we don't set aside time to make a list of what we have to do. So when we chant, then we start to remember all the things we have to do that we forgot. So our chanting becomes a session to make a to-do list. But he takes time out. He has his long lists of things to do. But that's not to be done when he's chanting. That he does outside of his time to chant. And when he chants, that's all he does. He just chants and hears. And to put himself in that frame of mind, which we should all have when we're chanting. This is our time with the holy name. This is the most precious time of the day. This is our time to associate with Krishna directly as the holy name. So like he in his case, he takes off his eyeglasses. He's not looking at anything. He's just hearing. Or he takes off his wristwatch. Oh boy. But he gets up early. You know, he's very disciplined. He takes rest about 8 o'clock at night, gets up at 2 in the morning, and he chants 16 rounds before the sun even rises. I was fortunate to attend
a japa retreat in Ojai earlier in the year, around April. And one of the participants was our god sister Yamuna Devi. And the organizer, Purusha Shukla Prabhu, gave me the topic, Srila Prabhupada's instructions on the holy name, or Srila Prabhupada's instructions and example. But outside, that particular retreat was like all god brothers and god sisters. People have been seriously chanting for 30 years. So it was very like collegial. And afterwards, sort of asked Yamuna Devi, like, what instructions she had received. And she reminded me of an incident. I was present, actually, at our rented apartment on Warden Road in Bombay, Akash Ganga. So one, we were chanting in the temple. That was the system. After Mangal Arati, we chant together in the temple. And Srila Prabhupada came in the room. He sat down on the Vyasa side. And you know, immediately everyone sat up straight and very attentive. And the first recipient of Srila Prabhupada's special mercy was a brahmachari named Thakur. Poor Thakur. He had a dirty bead bag. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out, why do you have dirty bead bags? You should have two bead bags, and every night you wash one. And the next recipient of Srila Prabhupada's special attention was Yamuna Devi. She started to do her Gayatri. And Srila Prabhupada asked her, have you completed your 16 rounds? And she said, no. He said, you should complete your 16 rounds before you do your morning Gayatri. So she took that as an instruction that she should complete her 16 rounds before sunrise. Because that's when we do our morning Gayatri. But that's again, you know, taking rest early, getting up early, being disciplined. And I know some people can't do it because of circumstances. But Gopal Bhattacharya, who does, takes rest at 8, gets up at 2, and he finishes all 16 rounds before sunrise. But even then, it doesn't mean that our mind won't wander when we chant. Even if we take rest early, don't overeat, get up early, don't have any real external reasons not to be attentive, but because of the fact that we're conditioned souls, the mind does tend to wander. Even Arjuna complained to Krishna that the mind is very difficult to control, that it seems as easy to control the wind as to control the mind. Krishna said, yes, it is difficult, but it's possible by practice and detachment. So practice, that's a large part of success in chanting, practice. Abhyasa yoga yukti, abhyasa practice. Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect even in spiritual life. And that's a very profound statement, because there are two stages in bhakti, sadhana bhakti, that's the stage of practice, and sadhya, the stage of perfection. Practice makes perfect.
in spirituality.
And we're not alone. That's the best part. We're not alone in our endeavors. Krishna will help us. Of course, we have our God brothers and God sisters,
superiors,
but Krishna himself will help us. Here the favorite example often given is when Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna with ropes. I'm sure you, do you all know the story? Not everyone, so. Well, this is a pastime when Krishna appeared on earth 5,000 years ago. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the origin of all. He has no origin. But still, out of love, he takes the form of a baby and a child, and he appears to grow up. And pure devotees who want to serve him in that way, they play the parts of his mother and father. And because of their love and their desire to serve him in the mood of a mother and father, he himself becomes in the mood of being their son, being dependent on them. But this is a very high stage of love of God. So one day, Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna with her breast milk when some milk that she had kept on the fire began to boil over. So she set baby Krishna aside to tend to the milk that was on the fire. And baby Krishna, you know, became frustrated and angry because he wasn't satisfied. Anyway, so what Krishna did is he broke some pots of butter and yogurt that were being kept in the household. Because this lila, Raja Lila, takes place in like a cowherd community, in our lila, human-like pastime. And so he did this mischief. He broke the pots of butter and yogurt, and so Mother Yashoda wanted to bind him with ropes, partly to punish him and partly just to keep him from further mischief. So she pursued him. But he was able to escape her. But in the end, he allowed her to catch him. But even after he allowed her to catch him, she still had to bind him. So she put the ropes around his waist, but it was short by the length of 2 fingers, or you can say 2 inches. So she got some more ropes and added it on, and it was still 2 inches too short. She added more. She called the neighbors. They added their ropes, and it was a cowherd community. They had a lot of ropes to tie the cows and calves and churn butter and all sorts of things. So they tied together all the ropes in the whole village, and it was still 2 inches too short. So Mother Yashoda just, you know, her friends were telling her, you're not going to be able to do it. You know, you should just give up. You know, you're not going to be able to do it. You might as well admit it. But she didn't give up. She was just determined. She felt it was her duty as his mother to control him and discipline him. And when Krishna saw how hard she was endeavoring, out of love for him, he allowed himself to be bound. So our acharyas, Shiva Jiva Goswami and Shiva Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, have commented that those 2 inches or 2 fingers, one is the devotee's endeavor, parishram, the devotee's hard labor, like Mother Yashoda, she labored so hard, tirelessly. She didn't give up, even though she tried and tried and tried again and was unsuccessful, she didn't give up. She was tireless in her efforts. So that covered half the distance, 1 finger. And the other half of the distance was covered by Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. And the same applies to us. We're trying to bind Krishna in our minds when we chant the holy name. And it's very difficult. But when Krishna sees our hard labor, that we're not just casually doing it, like, you know, walking around the house seeing what needs to be done with our finger in our bead bag, or glancing at the newspaper with our finger in our bead bag. But when Krishna sees we're really trying, we're trying our best, we're struggling, trying to hear when we chant, then he will come towards us. Let's say if you take 1 step towards God, he will take 2 steps towards you. He just wants to see that you're sincere and serious. Then he will reciprocate. So that's an indispensable factor in our success, Krishna Kripa, the mercy of the Lord. It's not exactly that our hard labor makes us successful, but our hard labor shows Krishna that we're sincere and that we really want him. And when he says, oh, my devotee wants me, I must go. And then Krishna reveals himself to us more and more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Vimba Makiji.
I find myself sometimes I get into
Divyambar Mataji says that sometimes it happens that she sacrifices her chanting for the sake of service. And for the sake of service, she'll stay up late and she'll sleep late. She will finish her rounds, but it won't be the same. So how to overcome this? Well, on a practical level, we should be organized. Organized involves 2 aspects. One is we organize what we have to do in a systematic way according to our priorities and we allocate time to it. The other way is we see what we can delegate. Like someone gave me a magnet that you put on the refrigerator. So much to do, and so few people to do it for me. So we have to allocate either time or delegate the responsibility. But being organized
know, one of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions, to me in particular, was intelligence and organization. But sometimes there are emergencies. And if we take up the service in the mood of service to the Holy Name, then we'll still be connected to the Holy Name when we do the service. I had one case, His Holiness Niranjan Swami had spent some time with me in Santa Barbara, and one day, we would each have our set routines, and my routine would be to walk in the afternoon and chant. And it just so happened that he really wanted to speak with me. I took my walk on the beach, and after I walk, I sit and chant. So I was chanting, really relishing. And then at a certain, relishing on my level. And then at a certain stage, I remember that he was back at the house and he actually wanted to speak with me. But I was relishing and I didn't want to stop. And then at a certain point I felt like the Holy Name was speaking to me, that Niranjan Swami is my dear servant, that he's done much to spread the Holy Name all over the world. So if you serve him, you'll be serving me, and I'll be more pleased if you stop your chanting and go and serve him. That was a special case, but it illustrates the point. And doing it in that mood, then when I went back to my chanting, I wasn't really bereft, because it was done in the mood of service to the Holy Name. Another devotee, very intelligent devotee in Mayapur, named Dayaram Prabhu. Well, he was the devotees, the leaders in India wanted him to take up some legal battle in Bangalore, and he just really wasn't in the mood, and he felt, you know, he didn't know how it was all going to end up anyway, and he just thought he'd rather just spend the time chanting in Mayapur. But he wasn't completely sure what to do, so he approached Janani Vas Prabhu, the head pujari there. I think he has a lot of faith in Janani Vas Prabhu. Many devotees do, for good reason. So he explained his dilemma, that he's really very unsure of how it's going to work, taking up the legal battle, and what kind of support he'll get from the leaders, and what the final result will be. And he feels, you know, he could really just stay and chant deep in his japa. So what should I do? He asked. So Janani Vas Prabhu said, give me some time and I'll let you know. And I think the way Dayaram Prabhu took it is he was going to ask Radha Madhava. So the next day, or whenever, he came back with the answer. And he said that one can chant the Holy Name by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And if you serve the Vaishnavas and get their mercy, you'll be able to chant the Holy Name better than if you refuse their request and try to chant the Holy Name on your own and displeased them. And he took that as coming from Krishna, as an instruction coming from Krishna. So it's the same thing, that as long as the Holy Name is the center, Krishna is the center, we can serve the servants of the Holy Name. The Holy Name may be more pleased under certain circumstances if we serve the servant, to serve the mission. And I think that's the ultimate surrender. I just think of this one little incident in Bombay when we were struggling to get the land. Oh boy. I mean, those were the days. We didn't have any place to stay. We didn't have... I mean, a lot of people didn't have telephones in those days. We certainly didn't. So, one morning, about 6 a.m, Srila Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Goswami something about the court case and the struggle to get the fruit of the land. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I didn't get to speak to the lawyer, I'll have to ask him. So Prabhupada said, yes, phone him immediately. So it was like 5:45 or 6 in the morning. So Tamal Krishna Goswami had to go up down the street, you know, looking for some house at 6 a.m. that had a telephone where they'd let him call. So he found one, he phoned, and the lawyer's wife answered. So he explained Prabhupada wanted some information from Mr. Asnani. So he waited a minute. A minute later, Mrs. Asnani came back and said, Mr. Asnani is doing his puja now, and he'll phone me back after he finishes his puja. Because there's no chance to phone back if we didn't have the phone. And so, Tamal Krishna Goswami was a little peeved. So, he came back to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, you know, I phoned and this is what happened, and, you know, like, pure devotee is, you know, like, on the phone through him, and, you know, he has to do his puja, can't answer the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, actually, in the beginning, it's good to be regulated like that. He said it's actually good. So, of course, Prabhupada himself was very regulated, but he also made exceptions for the sake of service. So we follow the same example. We're regulated as far as possible. He was very regulated, very regulated. But there can be exceptions. But the exceptions should be made on the basis of genuine need and in the mood of service. Not like, oh boy, it's been a rough day, let's watch something. And we stay up till 11 o'clock. And I found it can work either way, but sometimes when I've stayed up late for a real genuine cause and made that sacrifice for the sake of Prabhupada and Krishna, then the next day is better. The next day is better. Because you get some special mercy. But it should be an exception. It shouldn't be the rule. Bhagavata Prabhu says that how do we overcome our complacency with mediocrity and chanting. Sometimes we take solace in the fact that we do other things well, even if we don't chant well. So how do we overcome the complacency? Well, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in which he said that our service should be a challenge that we can meet only by coming to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So
you know, if you're really preaching, you're gonna come up against problems that you can only solve by surrendering more, by taking more shelter of the holy name. The other is by associating, by hearing. It's important to hear. I believe Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that it's good to regularly hear about the glories of the holy name, and that inspires you to want to chant more, chant better. Otherwise, we could see if there are any volunteers to take the role of Tamal Krishna Goswami and make you feel uncomfortable. Want to Guru Bhakti? Any other questions or comments? Beloved? Very good question. She says that to distribute the holy name to others requires selflessness and generosity, and how do we come to that level? Actually, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that that mood of compassion, of wanting to share with others, comes naturally when you chant defenselessly. It's sort of like if you chant offenselessly and you're actually feeling sort of full from by the mercy of the holy name, or enlivened by the mercy of the holy name, then you want to share it with others. It would be the natural consequence of offenseless chanting. At one airport, on departure of Srila Prabhupada's in New York in 1970, a newspaper reporter asked him, what does this chanting accomplish? Prabhupada smiled very broadly. Chanting accomplishes chanting. The more you chant, the more you want to chant. Like Rupa Goswami said, how can I chant with one tongue in 2 years? If I had millions of tongues and billions of years, then I could begin to chant. So when you chant offenselessly, Cheta Garbhano Marjanam, that selfishness that should be purified. And when the selfishness is purified, what's left? That mood of service to others. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Uni Gora Tishe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver the holy name in the most munificent incarnation. And Srila Prabhupada said that we're his followers, so we should also be munificent. He said specifically of the temple presidents, they should be munificent because they're following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should all be munificent. We should all be generous. O Gaudiya. And that comes by serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting without offense. And association is there for everything. Associate with devotees who have taste for the holy name. Associate with devotees who sincerely want to give the holy name to others.
We find in the course of chanting, carrying around in the temple, different things need to be done. maybe there might be a dead roach, or maybe to clean that out, maybe see some devotees not feeling well, or need to ride to the airport, or some devotee comes and asks you something, and you have to like. So is it better sometimes to chant in your own privacy, where you have no distraction, or to be in the midst of devotees, and seemingly you are constantly bombarded with distraction, asking you something, can you do this, or can you bring this pot here to the restaurant, can you help me with this, or we need to take this devotee there. So sometimes I wonder, is it better to be in solitude and not be distracted with these things, or be in the midst of devotees who are real devotees and favorable to devotional service, but at the same time seem to be distracting from the journey?
Well, in my humble opinion, we should create an atmosphere in the temple where devotees can come and chant without being disturbed. I mean, especially between Mangalarti and deity greeting. I've heard that in other places as well, that people want to come to the temple, congregation members, they want to come to the temple to chant in front of the deities, chant in the temple room, but then some devotee will...
Indeed.
Yeah. So they also think, well, maybe I should just stay at home and chant. It's a difficult question. It could be better. It could be better to chant at home. If, you know, with Tulsi Devi, with your family. Because we need that time alone. I mean, I don't know how we could come to a proper understanding. It would be nice to chant in the temple. To be perfectly honest, I mean, it's a pretty dismal confession, but I went to chant in the temple room last night after the temple was closed, because I thought I wouldn't be disturbed then. I mean, there were other circumstances, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe Mother Narayani can answer that later. I think it's something about our, like, corporate culture that you should respect people who are chanting. Well, from 5 to 7, you're safe. After that, you venture at your own risk. Now, what I would say is that devotees should understand that chanting is service, and that even if they have some other service for you, they should be very respectful when they see you chanting. I think they should avoid interrupting, but if they should respect chanting as a service. But again, you know, the devotees in the temple might feel there's some imbalance, that they do a lot of service in the congregation, they sort of come and get all the benefit, the beautiful deity worship and the temple programs and the visiting preachers, and they don't really do anything for it. And so the temple devotees might feel they should do something. So then, approach very respectfully, and you're chanting, and I don't want to disturb you. Yes, Dharma Prabhu.
Follow up on Rati Chandra Prabhu's question. Sometimes it's not so much that devotees are coming and asking me to do things, but I'm doing other things instead of chanting around. It's like you can make yourself so busy, there's so many things to do, especially around the temple. And then if you add work to it, then you suddenly find, oh, I'm out of time, you know, pocket money. That's the problem I have, more than, it's just like there's always something to do, there's a to-do list, there's this list, that list.
That seems to be more than, I was just wondering if you had any ideas about that, how we overcome that problem.
I think that will be this afternoon's topic, more or less, won't it? Yeah. I think on these practical questions of like technique and approach, we'll discuss in the afternoon. Okay, last two. So like I said, last two, three more hands going up. Yes, Chaitanya Das.
What about Prabhupada chanting? Like we put the tape and sometimes Hindu said we should do our own chanting.
Ask what about playing Prabhupada's japa tape, and sometimes devotees say you should hear your own chanting. Definitely you should hear your own chanting. That's what japa means. You hear your own chanting. I mean, I heard that once Srila Prabhupada came to the temple room in Dallas and they were playing his tape. And he said, you know, why are you playing my tape? You should be hearing your chanting, not my chanting. But you chant it, but some devotees get inspiration for their chanting by having Prabhupada drop the tape. And when we're in the temple room, there are other devotees chanting as well. So I feel that we could play Prabhupada's japa tape, but it shouldn't be so loud that we can't hear our own chanting, because ultimately we are meant to hear our own chanting. So if it's favorable, it's okay, but I think it really depends on the individual. But it shouldn't be so loud that you have trouble hearing your own chanting, because that's ultimately what we're meant to be hearing when we're chanting japa.
And that's different from the lyrics.
So that's nice. Get inspiration from Prabhupada's tape. Feel purified. It's be very individual. But if it's in the temple room, it could be there, but not too loud so that it doesn't make it hard for some people. Were you one of the last two? Okay. Last. Well, the first part of the question was sort of that I said that all service is the same as chanting, which is true in a way, but still we have to chant 16 rounds. But as far as the deity service, it should be done in silence. It's a regulative principle that there should be no talking in the deity kitchen. In the old days in Juhu, I don't know if it was good or bad, but one of the pujaris, someone connected with the deity department, he would sit on a stool at the kitchen door. And if anyone started to talk in the kitchen, he would, like, you know, come with a stick and whoosh, no talking. Not literally with a stick, but yeah, that's a regulated principle. We should be cooking in a meditative mood. We're cooking for Krishna. And the talking should be the bare minimum as required for service, and that's all. Cooking, dressing, any of the services in the temple should be done in silence. Thinking of Krishna.
So,
I don't think the question is how to become more humble. Well, if the question is how to be more humble, you should humbly tell him to stop talking. It's against the rules. Humbly tell the authorities. Because
you'll tolerate, we're supposed to tolerate, but we're not supposed to tolerate offenses. I mean, we're going to tolerate an offense to us, but we shouldn't tolerate offenses. Is the Lord or the devotees, these are like seva aparas. I mean, they do get cleansed by chanting the holy name, but it's still... I've heard it myself. I've been talking in the deity room. I brought it up to the head pujari. I was talking while addressing the deities. Not even related to the deity service, just talking. Against the rules. Anyway, now, shoot. I went food. Anyway, I'm sure everyone's... I don't know if I should have said that last week, but we should
be careful about that. We should be careful.
It keeps coming up. It's coming up. All right, thank you very much. Please forgive me for my offense. Hare Krishna. All rise to Srila Prabhupada. Srinam Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Tathagata Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.